Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, the not-so-PC PC Gaming Podcast. I'm Bobby.
You barely got that one out, dude. I'm Emilio, and I will be drunk by the end of the episode. I poured myself a little too much whiskey, but what are you going to do? You can't put that toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube, man.
Yeah, well, that's not toothpaste. It does not apply.
I
mean,
I guess if I had a funnel, I could pull that off.
Well, we are back in the studio, so hopefully the audio quality is a little bit better for all you listening.
Hi, Bobby. I haven't seen you in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been a while, and yet nothing has changed.
Nothing
changes in this new corona world we live in.
Well, there's more and more clutter in this goddamn garage.
But it's starting to pile up.
It's starting to pile up, dude.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to warn you, I'm going to go on a wild tangent on this episode, so I'm going to give you the opportunity to go first on highlights. Do you want to talk about something before I take us on a journey here?
What do I want to talk about? I want to talk about shit. I don't know. When you say it like that, I don't know. You do your tangent, I'll jump in.
Well, I was going to say, do you want to talk about your games first?
Sure. Okay. Let's see. I played Carrion. That was horror game in reverse that small developer had come out with. I like almost anything that comes out of Devolver Digital, and that they're publishing this. And I played the demo a couple weeks back, and now has a full release. I was going to buy it full price, but which is what, Bobby? Can you show me the?
Yeah, let me scroll down here. Full price is $20.
Yeah, $20. I was going to probably pay that. It seems a little steep. I would have said maybe $15 I was going to expect for this game. But it was on Game Pass day one. So
oh, nice.
I was super stoked about that. Jumped into it right away and just started playing. And it is better than I thought it was going to be. There's more mechanics. Let me explain a little more of what it is. It's basically a Metroidvania where you play a horrible, horrible monster that's terrifying. And you kill the humans, and you're trying to propagate throughout their whole area that they have, their whole base. You find these holes in the walls, and that's where kind of Bobby, in video games, we kind of like save points, we just throw them away. Like, the games are just going to give you save points. It doesn't give you a reason. Nothing happened. You just cross that stick, and that's the magical stick where you can go back to. But this game, you're propagating your life essence, right? So every hole you see in the wall, you stick your ass in there, and it becomes more monster. And then it makes sense that the next time you die, you spawn right there, because that's as big as your monster has gotten, right?
Yeah.
And talking about size, as you eat more guys, you become bigger and bigger and bigger, up to a point where it can start causing problems. Like, you might not be able to fit somewhere. You might not be able to, and I've never seen this before. You have several special abilities that you're gaining throughout the game. And but your like attack special ability, I would call it, or your special ability, let's call it. The only way to switch between one and two is be small or be big. So sometimes when you need the other ability, you need to go just get shot a little bit. Or you can go into these magic swimming pools. They're a little, I call them magic because they're pink instead of blue. And you can deposit, it's gross. Everything's gross in this game. You can deposit like half of your biomass into it. You kind of like lay an egg. And then you're small. And then now you can do your small special ability. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think I follow you.
Yeah, and then like if you want to go back to big, you can go back to that pool after you're done manipulating whatever you have to manipulate, and then get big again. So that's really interesting. The hero of this game, I would say, is the movement. Moving around is so much fucking fun that inherently in Metroidvanias, you backtrack. That's just the name of the game. You have to.
Yeah.
You go, you run into a wall, you don't have a double jump, so you come back to double jump later, so you go back later. You keep going until you get double jump, and then I forget where I needed double jump that one time. You know, it just happens.
Yeah.
But in this game, you move through the environment so cool and so quickly that it doesn't matter. It's enjoyable backtracking. You just, even though there's not bad guys, I mean, the only times I got like sick of moving is when I got lost, which happened a few times. There is an ability where you like echolocation where you can find where you're supposed to go, but I really haven't figured it out fully. killing things is always a super gruesome event. I just got an ability. He's going to use it here. It looks like, oh no, where you can reach out one tentacle and fucking put him in the matrix, the monster matrix. And you, now you control the guy. And what's great about it,
like a puppet.
Yeah. Like a puppet. What's great about it is his buddies don't notice this fucking tentacle sticking out of the back of his head.
There was a Futurama movie like that, I think, where they all got tentacles in the back then.
Yeah. It's very akin to that, dude. Yeah, just grabbing things, throwing things around are really all the movement, all the abilities is taken care of through the mouse. So you just point where you want to go and you go there. But it's not predetermined, pre-scripted movement. So if you wanted to hunt or hug the top wall, you could do that. Mm-hmm. You wanted, you know, you could do little increments. The movement's the real, like I said, it's almost in a game in itself. It's so enjoyable. Past that, I'm having a really good time. You keep unlocking new abilities at a good pace. There are these cutaway sequences where you play a human not attached to you. You're like, you have nothing to do with him, I think. Hmm. And those are the weakest points in the game for me. It just seems to be slow paced. I'm not sure what I'm doing. There's no dialogue. There's no reading.
The parts where you actually play as a human.
As a human, yeah. It seems like you're researchers that came down to figure out what happened with this monster.
So you're kind of playing, you're playing the human side of the plot.
Yeah, but there might be a mix in that. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know exactly what's going on. I'm sure that's how they're doing this.
Maybe it ties together later.
It does. Yeah. It probably ties together
later. That reinforces my statement I made a few episodes ago that humans are boring and uninteresting. That tooltip from FTL, man, it's always the truth. In any video game, don't be the human.
Yeah, it's true.
It's always the weakest part.
Yeah.
So,
dude, we have two D&D games going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, one's on hiatus.
One's on hiatus. All about the fucking D&D right now. No, not one person plays a human. Not one.
Yeah.
Not one.
Nobody wants to be a human.
No.
Because you could be a human any other time.
They have really good stats, too. But, yeah. They can fuck right off.
Yeah, but nobody cares. But is there like a larger map to this game? Because I see the levels being played here, but do you like complete a level, then it zooms out to like, oh, this is the base that you're taking over? Like, what's the large scale?
No, you do. You warp between areas. So once you find the big hole, you go through the big hole and you come out somewhere else completely, like a whole new level.
Okay. How far in this game do you think you are?
I must have played 4 hours yesterday. I don't know. What's the time to beat? Is there one?
Yeah, let's look it up on how long to beat here. See if we can get an estimate on that.
Dude, my fucking contacts are blurry as shit. I can't read any of the. They could all be talking shit. I wouldn't know.
time to beat is 4 hours. Completionist is 5 hours.
Yeah, I must be close then.
So you must be getting close to the end. That's a pretty short game, especially at a $20 price tag.
I'm trying to weigh. Is it worth $20? And I would have a hard time saying whether it is. I'd be like, yeah, no, yeah. But then you have the Game Pass. Mm-hmm. Go fucking get Game Pass. If you don't have Game Pass, I don't know what you're doing with your life, Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, that. I've already got a plethora of games, so I'm good on that. But, you know, if I were just getting into it, man, like that would be a godsend. Where was Game Pass like 15 years ago, man?
You know what I noticed? Today I bought a game. I bought Mortal Kombat 11 because it hasn't really gone on sale. And it went on sale for $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're having that big sale on Steam.
And I went with the DLC, so I spent like $41 today. And I was thinking to myself, that seems like a hefty price tag. How much money have I been spending on gaming? And the answer is $5 a month on Game Pass, because Game Pass has been covering me for the most part, man.
Yeah. What's great about it is they're getting a lot of new releases too. Carrion comes out, boom, it's on there. Microsoft just announced a bunch of other games.
We'll Neon get to those Abyss later.
Yeah, Neon Abyss. You talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a steal. Ugh, all right.
I literally can't see the screen.
let me turn up the... Let me see if I can increase that. Is that any better there? Can you read that?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. It's your eyes must be pretty bad.
No, dude, it's like I have... I don't know. Something's blocking. Like fuzz or something.
It's all that whiskey you're drinking.
It's all that whiskey. Yeah, I'm cross-eyed drunk.
Yeah. No, chat's just talking about how terrible humans are.
Oh, gotcha.
Never want to play the human. All right, so I had an interesting week here. I had kind of a theme to my week. I didn't know what I was going to get into, but I want to start with our most recent iTunes review. this is titled, okay, this, by the way, this is a review of our podcast, but it's titled Starship Troopers. Book is good, but full of right-wing propaganda. That movie spoofs brilliantly. So I like how our iTunes reviews have now turned into kind of a chat forum. Love it, by the way. I think this is because I had mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was reading Starship Troopers, the book. Mm-hmm. And of course, I've seen the movie and I've never read the book, went back to read the book. And the entire time I'm reading the book, I'm kind of waiting for the satire to kick in. The first chapter, you know, the book starts in media res. Like, first chapter, he's on an attack run. You know, Johnny Rico, mobile infantry, he gets dropped down into a planet, and he is doing this attack run on this race of, like, very tall, thin aliens called the Skinnies. They refer to them as the Skinnies, and he's blowing them up.
Oh, they weren't even insectoids.
No, the bugs are another race that they go to war with later. Okay. But in the book, there's another race called call Skinnies. So he goes down there, he's blowing stuff up, and then like he's trying to rendezvous with his troops, and they're trying to get back in time for pickup. And one of them gets knocked down, and you know he's bleeding out, so they'd make this heroic rescue to go back and get him. They pull him back onto the ship. They're too late, though, so the pilot has to like manually do the calculations, but she's so good that she nails it, and they get out of there, big heroic rescue. Then the dude dies. So I'm like, okay, all right, that's a good first chapter. We're seeing the futility of war here, like setting the stage. I go through the entire book, and I'm kind of waiting for the punchline, waiting for the satire that I know exists in the movie. And then I reach the end of the book and it never comes. I'm like, that's weird.
Does Johnny come back?
Come back where?
To life. I mean, is he in the story other than the first chapter?
Yeah. He's not the one that gets shot down in the first chapter. No, he's doing the rescue.
Oh, gotcha.
So I finished the book. It's not a very long book. And, you know, the book goes on and on. Like, I'd say... almost half of this book is Johnny Rico sitting in a class getting lectured. And this guy
getting browbeaten by
just doing all this world building. It spends like a whole chapter on this is how the power armor works, and you know, which is kind of cool because this is like a lot of people credit Starship Troopers the book as being the first book to ever create power armor, like a mech suit. So I guess that's kind of cool. But yeah, so I get to the end, I'm like, dude, that's totally weird. You know, to the internet. So let's get to the bottom of this. So I start like doing a little bit of research, Wikipedia, Amazon reviews and stuff, and it turns out that who the hell is this Lord Dougie is pretty much right, dude. So the book, the guy who wrote the book did so because he got upset that a peace treaty was reached where they like stopped researching nuclear warheads. And, you know, basically had like a ceasefire with those. And I guess he thought this was like slowing down human progress. So he writes this book that's just like telling how great war and military and how like, you know, all the stuff that is lampooned in Starship Troopers, the movie. And so the movie actually went up in my book because that is hilarious.
Yeah, they're making fun of the original content
of
the
book. Yeah, yeah. They're just like, this is so ridiculous. And it is, man. It's pretty ridiculous. Politics aside, the book's pretty damn ridiculous, dude. There's a part where one of the many parts where he's getting lectured.
It's Chad's favorite book, dude. Childhood book.
That's what I want to talk about too. Chad, former podcast host, Chad Chattington.
Let me see if I can get him on.
I don't. Well, let me get through the rest.
Go ahead.
So maybe we can see if we can get on there. But there's a part in the book where it's just like where he's getting lectured and his instructors like, you know, back in the 20th century, those idiots, you know, they thought life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, that's why that doesn't work, because do you really have a right to life? What if, and the arguments are like straight up like shit you'd read on Twitter, dude. It's like, you know, if a guy is drowning in the ocean, does he have a right to life? If two guys are stranded and one has to eat the other, which one has a right to life? I'm just like, what? I think you're kind of missing the point, dude. And there's just so much of that, like so much of just like, you know, Johnny Rico's in class getting lectured, but really you, the reader, are getting lectured on history and moral philosophy. So yeah, dude, it was wild. So because of that experience,
I put the bat signal out.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. Cause I would love to hear Chad's chest.
Yeah.
The first
he was a kid though.
Yeah.
So he probably didn't.
And yeah. I was like, dude, if I was 15 years old, I'd be like, yup, this is how the world needs to work.
Yeah.
This is how the world needs to work. I'm 15 years old and I understand everything, because I read the Amazon reviews and like the first one's like, this inspired me to join the Navy. You know, this is like this book changed my life and blah, blah, blah. And I'm scrolling through like one after another of reviews like that. And then finally there's one that's just like, this is fucking bullshit, blah, blah, blah. But
it's well written.
It's pretty well written, but I'm not going to fault the guy for this, because I notice this with every book I read now. Ryan Sumo, the creator of Academia School Simulator, I follow him on Twitter. He posted this, or he retweeted this one time about someone tweeted about how they noticed how the author of the Twilight books always uses the word chuckled. And it's like them going through the whole book, like pointing out every single time where it says he chuckled. And like, I think the retweet, Ryan said, like, it's always funny when you notice an author's crutch word. And I've noticed that in everything I read.
Since then.
Yeah. And in this book, dude, probably 50 to 100 times, somewhere in there, he says, he uses the euphemism, bought the farm, buy the farm, buy it, which is kind of like an old fashioned thing. Maybe
dying,
it's more popular.
Right?
Yeah, dying. It's a euphemism for dying, but they say it so many times. And on the bounce is used a lot, because the way they move in power armor is they use like little rocket propulsion to psh, psh, like that. But yeah, so I mean, that was wild. That was a wild experience. And because of that, I decided
I like this. You bring this to light, because
I wish Chad were here. So
I've known Chad for 25 years. The amount of times he shat on Starship Troopers, the movie, has been, and I never really understood it. I'm like, if the book is like the movie, then it makes sense that they would both be good. Why does he love one and hate the other?
Well, you know, I still understand. The movie's not perfect, although it's definitely gone up, in my opinion, because of this. Yeah. It's still not perfect, because you take away the satire and it's just not a very interesting movie. It's got big third act problems. The reason that, I mean, it's Paul Verhoeven, you know, the famous Dutch director, directed Showgirls, RoboCop. The reason why RoboCop works is because that's an interesting story aside from the satire. The satire is great. And some people even watch it and they don't even pick up that this is a scathing indictment of, you know, American capitalism and corporations. But it still works as a great movie, because it's a fucking robot cop that shoots people with a big ass gun. You know,
it's
still a great movie. Starship Troopers isn't that great. I mean, it's got some fantastic special effects. Dude, 97, those special effects. I see worse special effects in movies that come out today. But it's got like some issues.
That reminds me of the Colbert Report. Like, there's right-wingers that don't understand that Colbert is pretending to be a right-winger and making fun of them by acting to be one of them.
Yeah.
That's exactly like what... Like, you're so gung-ho that the gung-ho-ness in the game, or in the movie, that they're lampooning.
Yeah.
You're not
I guess, you know, when Starship Troopers came out, it was after Independence Day. I was too young to see it because it was rated R, but I was just like, yeah, that looks kind of cool, but it kind of just looks like a ripoff of Independence Day. I don't know, aliens, fighting aliens, you know, that I didn't really, you know, I was not, like, comprehending it. And I think a lot
Starship Troopers was after?
I think it was, like, right, I remember seeing a trailer for it when I went to see Independence Day. But I think a lot of people went to the movies and didn't pick up on the satire. They didn't notice that Neil Patrick Harris character is dressed like a Nazi, dude, like literally with the coat and the hat and everything. Uh-huh. Like they didn't pick up like the satire. But if you want to hear someone do a much better interpretation of that movie and actually make a good case for Starship Troopers, Red Letter Media, you've probably, you know, they're famous for their Phantom Menace review from like 10 years ago, but They have a whole review of it that goes over everything and really explains the movie quite well, does it justice. But again, because of all this, I decided to play
Helldivers.
Helldivers.
Back to PC gaming. Let's wrangle this bitch back in.
Tie it all up, man. Tie it all in. It all connects. So Helldivers is a game that came out 2017, maybe 2016.
Sure.
2015, 2016, right. And it's supposed to be kind of like Starship Troopers. Like you are recruited into this army and the human for the human race, and you go to these other planets and you destroy them. And it's all done very gung ho, very you know, unabashed patriotism, over the top. You know, it's like, you know, the opening credits is the Super Earth broadcast, and it's like this movie tune war reel, just, you know, recruitment video. So it's definitely in
the same vein.
Yeah, it's definitely, and they even have like little jetpacks where you can bounce over. Like it's very much copying Starship Troopers. And I remember this game for many reasons. I always forget the name of it, but I always remember it because we're allowed to talk about where Chad used to work, right?
Yeah.
So he used to work for Sony, and this was the first game that Sony published on Steam. And they had never done it before. And Chad at the time was working for him, and he actually for the first time was able to see the back end. If you were a publisher, like what you had access to on Steam, how you changed the data and all that stuff. And I remember him showing us that. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, get to see things from the other side there. But yeah, so this was a game that came out for the PlayStation, but also came out on PC, and it did pretty well. And I will say it is a pretty good game. It's it's like a top down twin stick shooter that makes it very difficult because there is friendly fire on everything, man.
Yep.
You can get squashed. You're constantly calling down, like,
it's kind of Warhammer 40K ish that I'm thinking about it now too. Cause you're kind of like these armored, super soldiers or whatever, and you have all these alien scum fucking coming at you in waves and stuff too.
So there's three races. There's a mechanical race, like cyborgs. There's a bug race, and then there is like this one called the Illuminate, and they look like these kind of almost angelic, kind of like alien.
Help me out here, Bobby. I saw somebody mentioned that you were playing this, and I was like, they're like, what is that about? And I was like, well, I feel like two games try to do the same thing at the same time, and both were pretty good. So this one, what the standout thing about this game, it's a good game on its own, mm-hmm. but what the standout thing is, to call in drop shipments, you have to punch in a code.
Yes. So those are called stratagems. That's what they call them in the game. So at any time, you can press on a keyboard, you press control, and then you have to do something like a Nintendo
cheat code. Up, right, down, down.
Up, down, left, right, left, right. And then,
which sounds fine, but when you're stressed,
with everything else going on, that's actually really difficult to do.
It gets harder and harder. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a catch-22 because the more you need that drop, mm-hmm. the harder it is mentally to do it right.
Yeah.
And not unless you're a robot like Bobby.
Well, you really have to
pull everything off every time.
You can't look at the arrows. You've got to memorize them, is what I've found. And each one has a different one. So like if I want to call in like the little airstrike, that's just right three times and I get 10 of those. So I know just like right, you know, control right, and then put where I want it to go and boom. So that one's a pretty easy one. But you know, there's also like a resupply. You can call down extra weapons, you can really call down a turret.
The other game was the one with the wizards.
Magicka.
I couldn't remember the name of
Magicka.
It. And that was the same concept where you would go right, left, up,
down. That's how you do your spells.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this one, that calling down the stratagems, that's also how you revive your teammates. If your teammates get killed, you have to do, not a very easy one either, you have to do a combination of keys to call them down so they can revive, or if they just take a little bit of damage and get knocked over, you can run over, press E, and help them get back up. But it is the thing that is so good about this game is that it is very difficult.
Yeah.
And you really have to be aware of where you're shooting. It's very easy to shoot your other guys. If you throw down an auto turret, that thing's going to kill you, dude. If it sees a bug out there and you're in the way, it's going to shoot you.
Or a
it's
friend.
Going to kill you. Yeah, or a friend. So you have to be aware of what other people are doing. All these stratagems that you're dropping down, those can crush you. The ship that comes down...
A la fucking... the mining game. God damn it. DRG.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, same like thing, but way worse because things are coming down constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the ship that comes to pick you up and rescue you, that can crush you and kill you. So everything in this game can kill you, dude. Yeah. Like, the enemies are actually, you know, sometimes not the biggest threat. So you do have to play very careful, and it is very challenging, and it makes this game very enjoyable.
So you're playing with randos, I'm guessing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, played with a lot of randoms, and it you really got to play with other people. Playing solo is not that great.
In-game voice chat?
No, you can text. There is text where you can talk to people. Ooh, but
it must be. I mean,
yeah, it's
you have an army of listeners, Bobby. You can play these games. Robert Digital were to put out, I would like to play a video game with you guys. Hordes of people, no females, hordes of people would come running and wanting to play.
Yeah, maybe. And they probably own this game. I guess I did. I must have got it in a bundle or something. It is, let's see how much it is.
I think Chad probably sent us some, or gave us some copies.
I don't think he did, because it said I got it in 2017. So it must have been part of a bundle. So this game's $20. It's been on sale before for as low as $8. And, they do have some DLC, which I apparently had also. But, you know, it's a lot of... The gameplay itself is pretty fun. I described that. You know, it's that twin-stick shooter. And there is an array of weapons you get to choose from. You also get to adjust your loadout, what kind of stratagems you want to call down. And you have to unlock a lot of that, too. So it does feel a little grindy. Yeah, it's a really good game. I really enjoyed it, and I do not like twin stick shooters. And if you liked what was it, Synthetic? Was that the one we were talking about a while ago?
Yeah,
yeah. If you liked Synthetic, dude, this is a lot like Synthetic, but with four people working.
I would say Synthetic is a little more twitch difficult. Like it's more about aiming quickly and dodging quickly. This is more about strategy difficulty. It's a little slower pace than Synthetic.
Well, I don't know if it's slower pace, though. Like, your character is lumbering. It's hard to, like, turn around and shoot where you need to shoot. And also, like if you wear heavy armor, you're a lot slower. But I don't know, man. It's hard to explain the difficulty. It's kind of like when you play a fighting game and you know one character is just slower, but he hits harder, so you have to change your play style. That's kind of what this feels like. I feel like I constantly am getting overwhelmed and just making poor decisions that get me killed. And just, there's a dexterity issue. Like, you have to get really good. And I think this game's better on the controller, actually, because it's easier to, your melee is on the Q button. If you happen to be using WASD and you're going one direction, hitting Q is kind of awkward. Mm. So it's really hard to use your melee. But it really requires you to build some dexterity in your hands and memorize, you know, that, like the controls and the commands and everything like that. But it's a good game, man. And I'm sure a lot of people have it out there, and I'll probably play a little bit here and there. But I did kind of grind it a little bit this weekend. I got up to, level 13 pretty quickly, unlocked quite a few things, and, kind of happy with the play style I got working out. But it also, and I'll just mention this really quick, because one of my favorite twin stick shooter games, and I don't know why I always come back to this one, but Full Mojo Rampage. This game came out probably around the same time. We all played it. We enjoyed it. But we didn't really like, I talked about how much I really liked it, but we kind of moved on pretty quickly. But this is a twin stick shooter, very cartoonish, came out in 2014, and it's all based on, it's got a voodoo theme to it.
Voodoo masks. I think that different masks give you different abilities.
You choose different Loas that give you different abilities. Then you can also level up certain attributes. And then, of course, as you're playing, it's a roguelike. So, it's a roguelike with like five different levels. So you work your way through. But while you're playing, you can unlock more inventory slots. You can get little, dolls, the little voodoo dolls.
I think you're switching over to the roguelike side, dude. Between this and Gunfire Reborn.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're growing on you.
I mean, I do enjoy, if it's done well, yeah, I'll enjoy a good roguelike. But yeah, I don't know. I just always enjoyed this game. But, you know, one problem that it does have, I love the art style too, by the way. This looks great. But one problem it does have, you mentioned earlier about Carrion and how, like, it's so rewarding to move around the level. In this one, the moving around is not, like, you go through and you kill all the enemies, and then you have to go, like, you have to find the exit. So there's a lot of downtime, like, just walking over here, finding the exit, or, oh, you know, I got to go find a shop and then sell some of these items to make room for other ones and run back and grab them. You know, there is a lot of downtime. It doesn't have that, like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, and no reason for it, right? Like, why wouldn't the shop just be built into the end of the level?
Well, the shops are random, you know, so, yeah. You know, you get lucky and you find one. But, yeah, so there's a little bit of downtime in it. And I played it for a little bit. I went through, like, one level on a difficulty that I hadn't beat yet, and I did the wave survival mode. I spent about like an hour or two playing it, but I just wanted to mention it again because I do really think it's a fun game and nobody plays it. And if you do have it and you want to play it, let me know because I'm always down.
Oof. Tagloro gifted a tier one sub to Sniper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Interesting. Sniper says, thank you for the sub. Tag says, it was pretty much required. You're the only person in chat without an active sub.
Wow, really?
Oof.
And you know what the fucked up part is, man? He messages me and says, I noticed you're not following me on Twitter.
Look at that.
So I follow you on Twitter, but you don't sub. Okay, man. I see how it is. I see the double standard. we should shout out some other people, too. SMI Jeff, thank you very much. 9-month sub. Thank you. 9 months, man. That's awesome.
Is that the person who got us on the...
Yeah. Okay, we recorded earlier.
So you're kind of making me do this. There's another twin stick shooter that I played this week.
Let me shout out the rest of these, too. We got a few more.
I know there was more.
JD Constriction, 19 months, man.
JD?
19 months. Way up there. And then we did mention Tagloro. Oh, Tagloro, he subscribed and then he gifted the sub.
Yeah. As you do, as one does.
And then also MP Loft gifting a sub to Reno 1983, man. Were you born in 83, dude? Because that was the year I was born.
So Sniper gives us, like, he gives us notes, and we can read them live as he puts them. Anyway, and he gave us, like, 5 things to read off, and the last one was, fuck you. He's a little upset there. I played a twin stick shooter this week, and it was a good one. And you fight aliens. Teleglitch, Die More Edition.
I played this game.
You probably did. It's an old game, I think.
Yeah, I played this a long time ago. It came out in 2013.
It's kind of like a really good roguelike. Well, it came out the year of the roguelikes, right? It wasn't it 2013?
Yeah, 2013 was roguelite huge. Everywhere.
The graphics are terrible, but everything else is pretty fucking solid. The reason I played this game is I am promising to play one game from my list that Steam says to go play. The play next tab?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it we talked about this a few weeks ago. It cross-references popularity versus how much time you've played of the game. So right now it's like a long stream of games I haven't even touched, but that are critically acclaimed or have high user reviews. The good thing is, the bad thing is a lot of bullshit comes up. The good thing is you can make it disappear. So by bullshit, I mean like different versions of the same game that I've already beat or played a lot of, like the Game of the Year edition version of Batman Arkham Asylum as opposed to the regular one, right? Like, I'm not going to go back and play the whole game just because there's a Game of the Year edition. So those you could either remove from list is one option, and the other one is remove from my account. And funny enough, just so any game you can remove from your account, and then it just happened to happen where I needed to bring one back when we played. Were you there, Bobby, when we were playing that Warhammer 40K game recently?
Which one?
The 4-player co-op one.
Deathwing. No, I wasn't there. I didn't play with you guys.
Okay. So we played. Yeah. So we played, and I had deleted it from my account because I thought I couldn't run it. So I looked it up, quick Google search. You can actually find those destroyed games. But yeah,
it doesn't delete it from your account. It just hides it, right?
It hides it, yeah. So there's a hide list that you can find. It's pretty easy to find. Anyway, every week I'm going to make an effort to try to play one of the games from this list. This week it was Teleglitch. It is rated something like a high 80s, Bobby. Can you back that up?
Yeah, let's take a look here. 89.
Yeah, it's an 89. In 2013, it was probably a fucking killer roguelike, like a premier roguelike. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's moved on a little bit, but for $12, or if you have it in your account and never played it like I did, it's pretty good. The graphics are so blocky that Mila, my 8-year-old stepdaughter, came in and she's like, "Are you playing Minecraft?" And I said, "No, it's not Minecraft. This is a big boy game. I need you to go back inside the house." And yeah, it's got everything that a good roguelike has, especially back then. Randomly generated levels, randomly placed monsters, very difficult, like very, very, very difficult. But I'm enjoying it, actually, and I'm glad that I played it, even though I've never played it before.
Mm-hmm. I remember that I played a little bit of this game, and it was too hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
It was too hard, and I was like, okay, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a really good game.
I might not have the time to get good at this. But yeah, so look forward to next week, whatever that's going to be.
I like what they do, and other games have done this too, but I remember this might have been the first time I had seen it, but how they do the vision cones,
the
as
lighting,
you walk into the room.
The lighting
cones.
You
slowly see. We had this problem when we were playing D&D, but I know Nick was saying if you have like a paid account or something, then when you walk into areas, it automatically adjusts the fog of war, the vision for you or something like that.
Yeah. They add all of this to the little maps. And the other game that I play, Ape Out, takes this idea and just like makes it art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then you played some more Risk of Rain 2.
I did. I played with Captain Gummy, who's played evidently a fucking buttload of Risk of Rain 2. He's unlocked every artifact. So what an artifact is, it's something that you can activate if you want, and it modifies the game. I've never played with any of these artifacts.
What's the benefit of playing with an artifact?
So it changes the game. So it gives a little more replay value, right? Because but also, unlike a lot of other games, when you fuck with the base game, you won't be able to unlock things. It's only for fun, right? But in this, you get to change the game and you can continue to unlock things. So if you see something as beneficial, you can just run with it from then on and it'll help you out from then on. So here are some of the ones that I remember. There was one where every 10 minutes you're attacked by doppelgangers. So there was four of us at the time. And four of these doppelgangers would come in, and they have all the items that you do. So as hard as you might be to kill, that's how hard it is to kill these things. Another one was that there's no more treasure chests in the game, and items just randomly drop from monsters. So it's more like an adventure game where like you're just hoping RNG, trying to get good shit. There's another one on top of that where instead of random items, you get to choose your items and make a build like as much as you want. And the thing about Risk of Rain is there's no diminishing returns. Everything stacks. Like it just stacks.
Yeah.
There must be a limit, but I don't know what that limit is.
That seems broken though, if you get to choose your items.
You'd be surprised, dude, because these fucking doppelgangers were coming in with the fucking same shit that we were getting. And that ended up being our downfall, these doppelgangers. We just couldn't kill one of the doppelgangers at a certain point. We could have ran without that and just go with the other version, which, yeah, seems broken, but there's a lot of shit to unlock, and that's just a way to help you unlock it. What else? There's a bunch of stuff. Just like, all enemies' health is halved, but there's twice as many enemies. So, which just made, it was just a chaotic 2 hours, dude. I had 6 hours of game time this whole week. Two of those, because I like to start my gaming week off with one run of Risk of Rain, maybe two. Because it's usually half an hour. If you have a really good one, an hour, hour and a half. Because we had all these weird rules, it was like 2.5 hours, dude. And I was like, I got to do other stuff, guys. Like, my baby's crying. I got to go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we ended up dying because I left them. but yeah, I'm glad that there's so much replayability and, you know, these things really change the game. The 1.0 update is coming out.
Yeah, August 11th.
And it's kind of like DRG. I feel like it's not a gigantic milestone. Mm-hmm. They're not like hitting you with a new character or two new characters or... That's what I would expect. It's kind of like a just a milestone for them.
Well, I don't know. I'll click down here and check it out. But have they said what they're actually going to do in the 1.0 release?
Let's look. I don't know.
Doesn't say much.
Doesn't say much. That's what I was saying, man.
It just says like, hey, thank you. It's been a crazy ride. And yeah, 1.0. So I don't know if they have anything really planned for the 1.0.
Maybe it's going to be a giant list of things that they do, but... I kind of feel like it's going to be a soft release, like a DRG kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, it's still a good game. It's got overwhelmingly positive reviews, man.
From Bobby. I get it, dude.
Hasn't clicked for me.
No, I get it. And you know what makes the click is when you have a really good run. One of those like hour and a half runs and you're having fun the whole time.
Yeah.
And it just gets super chaotic. I feel like every time you come in, I'm like, you got to do this, this, and this, and this, and this.
Yeah.
And you got to look out for that, and that, and that, and that. Instead of just, like, letting you play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's definitely a danger when you bring someone else into a game. And I realize I've never played this game on my own. Like, I've always played it when other people have, like, hey, we're starting up a game. You should join in. And then I hop in. They're like, okay, well, you should do this and play that guy. And then, like, oh, get this item. You know, so I haven't really had to have my own experience with it. Yeah. I think that's crucial for a game.
No, for sure.
Hey, one of these days, man. One of these days. One like, probably days, 5 years. You know, it took me 5 years to get to Helldivers. It'll take me 5 years to get to this.
Risk of Rain 3. Because Risk of Rain 3 came out, I thought I'd go play Risk of Rain 2.
Yep, that's
it. Turns out it's a fantastic game.
I played with three Russian bots,
and we...
How many people... There's got to be a lot of people playing this game right now. Let's see if we can get that information on the Steam page. 5,000 people playing the game right now as we speak.
Yep.
It's got a good healthy base of people.
70,000 peak.
All right, so it's time for On the Radar games that have come to our attention recently. And we've got quite a few here. The first one is a Starship Troopers game. Because I was having this week, I was like, there has to have been a Starship Troopers game. And there was one that came out in 2005. It looks terrible. It looks like a very generic first-person shooter where you guard a base, the bugs come run up at you, and you mow them down and... That really looks like about it. However, there is another Starship Troopers game called Terran Command that is coming out sometime in 2020. And this looks like it's a real-time strategy game, but it looks like you're just defending a base and surviving wave after wave. So, you know, again, like...
Isn't that exactly what you just described? Almost word for word.
Well, except for this one's an RTS and the other one's a first-person shooter.
Oh, the other one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I missed that part.
So
this looks like the movie from the far shots, man.
Yeah. The graphics look really good. Being developed by Air Aristocrats. Not sure who they are. But it seems like a lot of these RTS games are taking this stance where it's like, okay, you just... Hold out in this base and defend against waves. Conan Unconquered, what was the zombie one? They Are Billions.
They Are Billions.
Yeah, so I don't know. It looks like it could be like that. No price point on this game, but coming out in 2020.
Cool, man. Looks awesome.
I had to go out and look for this. It didn't really pop up anywhere. So, you know, hopefully it finds an audience if it's any good. But Starship Troopers, Terran Command, I'll keep an eye on it. Next up, we've got Company of Crime. This was recommended by someone in our Discord. We had lots of recommendations this week. Good job, guys. Thank you. This one, out of all of them, caught my eye the most. Company of Crime places you in the heart of 1960s London. Will you build an influential criminal empire or head up an elite Scotland Yard task force and crack down on the rising tide of corruption? Case out targets, then dive into melee with your handpicked team of gangsters or detectives. So this looks a lot like
Like GTA 1.
No, it's like a kind of a simulation tactical turn-based type game. I have no idea, but it looks a lot like that game that's coming out, the sequel to the Evil Bosses Domination. What was that called? You know, we saw it when they were announcing all those other games.
Oh, the Evil Genius.
Evil Geniuses, yeah. It reminds me of Evil Geniuses, where you're trying to build an organization. You're probably, like, building a base and getting upgrades, but you're also building a team. And then
it's
you have
funny
to
that it's all melee, dude.
Well, it's London. They don't have guns, right?
Yeah, yeah. wounded. He's grabbing his balls.
And I love the look of this. I mean, it's 1960s London. I like that setting for some reason. I don't know. This looks like... like some Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrel movie,
yeah, totally.
Or something. Or
back in the day, though.
But like set in the past.
Lock, Stock, Smoking Barrels with Austin Powers.
Yeah, mixed. Little Austin Powers in there. Like, I don't know. This movie kind of, or this game kind of does it for me. Just the look of it, like what I perceive the gameplay to be. I'll keep an eye on it. It's coming out August 8th, 2020.
Cool.
Not very far away.
I like it.
So very cool. Good recommendation there. Next up, Warhammer 40,000 Dark Tide.
This was a big reveal this week. I believe they just have this cinematic trailer, and that's about it, right? That's all the info we get?
From Dark Tide?
Yeah. Is there more to it?
No, they have the trailer, and they have a Steam page, but yeah, not a whole lot of information.
Is Fat Shark the people who put together...
Vermintide. So Vermintide and also War of the Roses, which is apparently not on Steam anymore. That was the first game that I had played by them. It's basically just like Chivalry. I happened to play War of the Roses before I played Chivalry, so I got really into that instead of Chivalry. And I don't know, I thought the graphics were a little bit better. The characters actually felt like real people. And
what's the new one that just came out?
Chivalry 2?
No. We just played it.
Mortal Shell?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think it is Mordhau.
Mordhau, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like the newest version of those medieval combat games.
The one where you tried to hit a guy with a giant axe who was standing
still. Hey, man. We don't got to bring that up. It has nothing to do with the podcast.
Where's that clip?
I completely whiffed a guy who was AFK.
Standing still, and you come up with this giant axe and just take this huge swing and totally miss.
I was chopping wood. There was a piece of wood that needed to be chopped, and then I was going to kill the guy.
Oh, God. So Dark Tide looks like it's going to be Vermintide, but in the Warhammer 40K universe. And the characters that you play in the video, they don't look like the Space Marines and the big bulky.
No, this is the Imperial Guard.
Who they are?
Yeah, regular human, basically.
So the Space Marines are not... The lowest of the low? Humans are the lowest?
Oh. Yeah. So. I've been watching all this stuff, dude. Actually, Nick, I re-linked it. Nick put up some videos of this one guy that explains the entire universe.
Yeah, I watched one of his videos.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. It starts with these guys. Are you sure? You watch it? The Imperial Guard?
I watched it. He linked one to me, and I watched some of that.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the Imperial Guard is like basically humans, and they went through numbers. It's just like a gun line of guys with like regular weapons. They're just out there trying their best, basically. They call in the Space Marines when shit's going south real quick.
Okay.
Basically. But they went through numbers. So they're just regular humans, basically.
Okay. All right. Well, because we're talking Warhammer 40K, Warhammer here, Nick wants to hop in and explain it to us. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hey,
I did not approve. He just gets he has a line in anytime. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going? Wow, way to sound excited to hear from your little nephew. All right, you punk. So Emilio has gotten most of this right. I hope you two are doing great tonight. So the Imperial Guardsmen are the lowest of the low. Like you said earlier, humans are boring. Fuck them.
But they are on the same side as the Space Marines.
Correct. So all the humans, or 99% of the humans in the universe, are part of the Imperium. And these guys are...
the army.
So check this out. Let me just give you like one little hint of like how insane this world is. So these guys carry a gun called a lasgun, right? And this lasgun can blow apart concrete with no issue. It never jams, and it never runs out of ammo. It's the weakest gun in the whole game.
In the whole universe.
In the whole universe.
Yeah. And that's who you're playing as.
And so in Dark Tide, you're playing as Imperial Guardsmen. It looks like you're playing Imperial Guardsmen from a couple different planets. Because in this universe, humanity has seeded itself in thousands of planets. So there's an Imperial Guardsmen from snow planets. And Imperial Guardsmen from a planet that's just like Germany, where all they do is wear gas masks and stab people and stuff. But
because that's what happens in Germany.
1942 Germany. Sorry, let me clarify. So with this in mind, Darktide, they revealed who the main enemy is of the game, which is really interesting. And it's the constructs of Nurgle. So Nurgle is the chaos god of like death and decay and poison.
See, I know about all this stuff.
Of Nurgle, of course.
Yeah.
And it is going to be so fucking so
zombies, basically, right?
There's zombies, but they've already teased champions, which are like in Vermintide. You remember like the super huge, tall buff guys?
Yeah.
There's going to be like kind of like those, but like the Space Marine versions that are evil. And so, yeah, it's going to be a pretty crazy game.
Nice, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I hope.
So it looks like it's going to be a 4-player co-op game, just like Deathwing, you know, just like Left 4 Dead. But but you're playing as different characters here.
Yeah, totally. How excited? Yeah. On a 1 to 10, how excited are you for this, Nick?
Am I? Well, I'm about to have a baby, so it sucks. I'm super excited. The thing I'm looking forward to is with the diversity of Vermintide, right? You have like, you know, the Dwarf Slayer and the Elven Archer and all that stuff. In this, you're going to have the Imperial Guardsmen.
And that's
mind you suck balls.
Yeah.
So I want to see how they include diversity. I'm guessing it's going to be through weapons and weapon systems.
Yeah, weapons, items, armor, maybe. This is by Fat Shark, who made the Vermintide games, and they've got a very good track record. And that, out of all of this, excites me the most. Like, I feel like they're going to do a good job with it.
Yeah.
Because Vermintide is pretty good.
I think it's going to be great. I hope it's going to be great. I think it's going to expand on the lore a lot. It looks like you're on a ship or a planet. But one thing that I wanted to plug... this week we finished D&D. It was a great time. We won't be back in for another 2-3 weeks, but Bobby, for the first time while playing D&D, showed some personality.
He did.
It's been uploaded.
Oh, it's been uploaded. Great.
It's out there. It's been uploaded 10 minutes ago, and it's on the YouTube channel. You guys can watch it.
On ours or yours or what?
It's on mine, but I linked it to Sniper so you can upload it to yours as well.
Okay, I got to pee so bad. I wanted to go down this rabbit hole with you guys, but I can't.
Okay. So, yeah, we're done. Bye. So we're done for a couple weeks with D&D, but we're going to be picking up again with the same characters.
Yep, and we're going to have a fourth, and it seems like we're going to have a centaur. How do you feel about that, dwarf paladin?
A centaur? So what? Tell me about the class of the centaur. What's the pros and cons of having a centaur on your team?
So it's Sniper's girlfriend, and she's going to be playing a centaur, which is not an official race. It's not something that you can just, hop into like a dwarf or an elf. Someone made a custom semi-official breakdown for a centaur. The weird thing about centaurs is centaurs are kind of like their own race and class. So they have a lot of special abilities and stuff, and their movements increase. But their main melee weapon is their hooves instead of hands and feet. So it's pretty weird.
So because she's half horse here, is she going to have more movement speed?
Exactly. And another thing is you could possibly even ride on her back.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Good care. And then the fun part for me as the DM is going to be riding encounters where she's not going to be able to fit into places. Like if you guys go to like a restaurant or an inn and the door's not big enough for her, then what she's going to have to sit outside, you know, along the other horses. It's going to be like a movie where it cuts out to her.
Well, that's going to be interesting. You know, playing D&D, like I see it everywhere now. And like every game I play, like I see the seeds of D&D. And especially like I've started adjusting my Divinity Original Sin gameplay to like how we play D&D. Like I'll pick one quest or like one or two quests and I'll just focus entirely on that. And, you know, some advice that you gave us at the beginning of all this, Nick, I think really applies to other games that are based heavily on D&D, like Divinity. He said, you know, don't try to make the best character you possibly can. Just make something fun. And that's really what you need to do with Divinity. Like, I've spent way too much time, like, checking every single barrel, trying to sell every single item, you know, just doing the best I could. And it really takes away from the fun and the adventure of it all. But it's crazy how much that game in particular mimics D&D, the original D&D.
Especially going into the next iteration, Baldur's Gate 3. That's supposed to be D&D on the PC, straight up. But we'll see.
Yeah, the developers of Baldur's Gate have officially said that that's going to be the closest thing that they could make for D&D on the PC while being fluid and being fun.
Yeah. So we had that clip, so I'm glad about that.
Does everyone in the community know who Bobby is in this universe?
Oh, yeah. Dwarf, you mean the famous Dwarf Paladin? Dwarf who's Paladin. Also named Dwarf Paladin? Is that who you're talking about?
Whose artwork is the default artwork of a Dwarf Paladin?
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about getting custom images for our characters, and I said, I think with a name like Dwarf Paladin, I think I really should stick with the stock photo. It
makes more sense.
Of the Dwarf Paladin.
Six sessions in, still hasn't told me his god.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't... Well, I've read like which ones the are the default ones, and I don't know, because don't you have to make a choice at some point, like who it is, like in a certain level.
Oh, you already passed that level. I'm just giving you some fucking leeway. Oh, okay. It's level 3. But yeah, there's a bunch of default ones, but you can also make your own. It could be a giant pig god that, you know, shoots acid.
Flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah, whatever you want. You can even pretend you follow a god and then eventually break an oath. Whatever you want, man. It's D&D.
It's D&D.
It's your oyster.
Bobby, I could tell that Bobby was... So, my character is playing a necromancer, but he has reduce or enlarge. And so, at a certain point, I made Bobby double his regular size. And he had swing and a miss, like three in a row. And he was just like... I could tell that Bobby was getting frustrated with just like his one option. Like, I can swing or I can swing with smite. Like, I can magically be... And I was like, dude, you can do whatever you want. Like, there's no rules. You're giant. You can grab one of these, break it over your knee, and then I think that's when the flavor started coming. He was like, yeah, I crack its back over my knee. And I was like, yeah, man, like, fucking get into it. You can do whatever the fuck you want. It's fun, man. For sure.
Good times.
Meanwhile, the whole time, you have a small... 3'2" rock gnome going blood for the blood god in the background.
Nonstop.
In a rest before.
Nonstop. I was smearing the blood all over my face and going, blood for the blood god, blood for the blood god. And Bobby, being a paladin, no problems with any of this. No problems with the death. No problems with the desecration. I'm swinging.
No problem with executing fucking prisoners.
Yeah.
Yeah, in retrospect, that might not have been the right call.
They were mentally challenged kobolds, and you killed them.
Well, they were under a spell.
You let Chakwa kill them.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Nick.
No problem.
All right. See you later. All right. Having a baby any day now.
Yeah. Friday is the official due date.
Okay. Where were we at? On the radar. Yeah. Next up is State of Decay 3. A lot of games were announced. This was one of them. Pretty much a teaser trailer. That's about all we know. There was a lot of talk about this game being like an open world MMO. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what...
Two was
like an open, like a persistent universe MMO where you could walk around and see other people.
Well, at least the city was, yeah. And you work together and you build a town.
But
together.
You can only have, I thought that was like 4-player co-op though.
Yeah, you're right.
Like it wasn't like.
You'd be invited into somebody else's world and you would have to take
yeah,
up.
Yeah. No, right. So they're talking about, and again, we don't know if this is going to happen or not, but this is kind of what people wanted. And I don't know, that seems like a good direction for it. Make it like a GTA online or what was like GTA's version of that.
Yeah, GTA Online.
That's what it's called, yeah. GTA Online. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that or, you know, like the MMO aspect, persistent world. I don't know, man. Like, State of Decay 1, I was like, okay, yeah, that's kind of cool. I get it, but no thanks. And then the second one came out, and I played, like, 10 minutes of it. And I was like, nah, so.
Yeah, 2, I feel like they just threw a ton of shit at the wall, and most of it didn't stick. But I do feel like they probably learned a lot from that, and they're going to apply it to 3, whatever form it might take.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So this is no release date at all. Like no information, whatever. Just like this teaser trailer that they've put up about a minute and a half.
But, with a zombie deer, which I haven't seen before.
Yeah. Not even a subtitle on this.
Hmm.
All right. Next game is Avowed. And a lot of people are excited about this. This looks a lot like Skyrim, and it is made by Obsidian. Of course, they made that South Park game, Outer Worlds, recently. You know, they're
known for their RPGs and their storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you look at the gameplay of this in the video, it looks so much like Skyrim. It's got that first-person point of view. It's got, you know...
Which they've never done before, by the way.
Yeah, they haven't.
Yeah, most of their games are like...
Outer Worlds, you could play first-person.
You're right. Yeah. God damn it. They've never done it, Bobby.
Never been done before, except for the last time they did it. this could be pretty cool, man.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, they're known for their storytelling, their RPG. They're good at this. So hopefully they're good at the action part of it, too. I don't know. I feel like they were kind of really trying to showcase the first person perspective. It looked a little, it's only a couple frames, but it looks kind of like, I don't know.
It looks exactly like Skyrim to me.
Which is like, it's been like, I don't know how many years. 10 years?
Since
Skyrim?
Yeah, it's been about 10 years.
It's getting close.
God, it's not been a while. Okay, next game is Creaks. This is a point-and-click adventure game with a very cool art style. And I don't know, I feel like I say that about so many games, right?
Hand-drawn sketching is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it looks like a children's storybook. It's got kind of a creepy vibe to it. It looks very Where the Wild Things Are.
Exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Exactly what... Although, that is black and white, isn't it?
No, there's color in there.
Is there color?
Yeah, there is. It's kind of like a muted color.
Yeah.
A little desaturated, but yeah.
Just like this. No bright colors, nothing pops.
Yeah, it looks very scratchy. But it is made by Amanita Design. Now, they've made some other games that if you play point and clicks, you've probably heard of them. Samorost, Machinarium or Machinarium. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Some pretty good ones that they're not huge games by any means, but like they are pretty solid games. I read some of the reviews because this game is out right now. This game is out. It's $20. It came out July 22nd. And a lot of the reviews are saying it's a solid game. You know, it's got good story, just like all the other games by this developer. It's not so much point and click adventure as it is more of just like a side scrolling adventure, but it's got pretty good puzzles. Nothing that's going to be like too difficult though. So, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like a good game, man. I'm actually pretty interested in this. And I know there's so many point and clicks out there, and they all look great, and they all got interesting art designs, but this one looks very cool.
It does look very cool. I will give you that.
Yep, Creaks is the name of that. All right, and then this game, Succubus. We probably talked about this a while ago.
I think we did, I remember.
A couple of years ago. I played a game called Agony. Mm-hmm. It was one of those games where you're just always running and hiding and trying to make your way through levels. But it took place in hell. It was supposed to be very graphic.
A lot of titties.
Yeah, a lot of nudity, a lot of depictions of sex and grotesque violence. Because, you know, you're making your way through hell. And I actually enjoyed it. It got a lot of negative feedback. I had a pretty good time with it. I actually streamed some of it, and they announced that they were making a sequel to it called Succubus, and it was going to be more of an action game. There's actually going to be more combat in it. And that game, they do have a Steam page now, but they have the prologue up. You can download Succubus Prologue and play the... It's kind of like a first couple of levels that you play, and then the story from that leads into...
Oh, there's penis in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, there's...
I'm super distracted by penises.
They're blurring out the genitals, but there's a lot of depiction of
sex. Oh, no.
Yeah, there's...
That looks awful.
An unborn fetus and a woman. Apparently, okay, so here's like, this game's super edgy, by the way. Like, you kind of have to just be like, okay, whatever. But the first aid kits that you heal up are like women who are pregnant and you have to eat the babies.
Just like Super Mario. It's almost the exact same thing.
Really? Super Mario? No. Okay. No. I was like, is there some weird like thing about Super Mario that I didn't notice? Yeah, so this
looks terrible, dude. I thought the first game looked fantastic. This looks like they took all the assets from the first game and are trying to make some more money off of the same world that they had built.
Yeah, I mean, it looks a lot like that, but yeah. It's going to be a lot more combat, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I got to say, like, I'm so sick of those run-and-hide games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did make it through Agony, but that must have been before I got completely sick of them. But yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. I might play the prologue this week. We'll see, but no promises. And last one is Flotsam.
I read it Flotsam. Either way.
Flotsam and Jetsam?
Sure.
You've never heard that, no. That phrase?
Mm-mm.
It's Flotsam.
Oh.
It's definitely Flotsam.
It's very close to... So this is a city builder. It's kind of like Waterworld, where you're taking trash and making a city out of it. And it's kind of funny because UCM boats came back to the server after like hiatus of like 8 or 10 months. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey guys, I'm back. And we're like, hey man, welcome back. And the first thing he put up was boat related. I was like, hey man, you can't be pushing your boat related propaganda on our server. And then he hit us with like 7 more boat games. But anyway, this does look cool. And is this the one? I feel like 3 or 4 floating trash recovery games came out. Yeah, at like the same Waterworld, time.
The game.
Yeah.
There's a couple of
them. There was that one. There's Raft.
Well, no, there's not literally Waterworld, the game, but
yeah.
There was this one, Raft, and then there's another one that's like very pixely. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been,
I feel like there's a video game water cooler where like maybe the word got out and then it just spread.
It's a cool idea, though.
It is a cool idea.
It's a cool idea.
And of all of those, artistically or graphically, I really like the cartoony nature of this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea behind it, it's got pretty good reviews. It's in the like 75, 80-ish on the percentage.
Yeah.
Not one for city builders, but Bobby, I feel like this is right up your alley, bro.
I'd probably enjoy this game. Yeah. I mean, we talked about this game when it was first announced a while ago. I want to say over a year ago. So yeah, I've been kind of keeping an eye on it, and it's out now. It's $25, which seems pretty steep, but I imagine I'd get a lot of hours out of this game. It also, it's still in early access. So, you know, it's not a complete game just yet, but yeah, eventually I'm going to play one of these games.
Good. Either this one or Raft. Like, for me, I feel like Raft would be a little more for me. I don't know. There's something about, like, building a city. It's just not appealing to me. Although, I learned the other day that I've had Surviving Mars. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Project Mars? Surviving Mars?
Surviving Mars.
I've had it installed since it came out. Or since it was free on Epic.
Oh, okay.
And I was like,
yeah.
And it still appeals to me. And I left it installed, but who knows, dude? When you have 2.5 hours to game every week,
it's really hard to get into a city builder in a short amount of time.
Yeah,
those games just require lots of time. All right, so that's going to be it for On the Radar. We can move into news, or I know we're going to have Recycled come on and talk a little bit about his YouTube channel. I don't know if he's ready for that or not.
But, dude, I think that's awesome. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage. Or is he coming on?
I do not know. Maybe we'll give him a little bit of time here.
I don't think he needs to. I think he did a really good job with that. But you can come on afterwards if you want, Recycled. I'm okay. hiding, he says.
You talk to him like he's going to respond.
He's right there.
Yeah, I know, but nobody in the audio can hear that, though.
What?
But nobody on listening to the podcast can hear him typing.
Right. All right. I don't get it. Go
no, ahead. No, I'm just saying it's bad podcasting, man. Okay. I'm just like... You're talking to someone who's replying in text.
But I'm saying what he's saying.
Okay.
So, I'm hiding.
Okay. All right. All right.
Fuck it. I'm out of here. Actually, I have to pee.
All right.
We're not fighting.
I'm going to play. He made an audio clip for us. So this is for his YouTube channel. And when Emilio gets back, maybe he can explain a little bit more about what he's doing with his YouTube channel. You've got a minute 32, dude. Go for it. All right, so let me roll it here.
To all commanders receiving this message, the egg is gone. The egg is gone. Oh, no! The egg is gone! But, now that the egg is gone, ask yourself this. Have I unlocked every possible engineer, pinned all of my favorite module upgrades, and built all of the fully Tier 5 engineered ships of my dreams? If the answer is yes, well, good for you, I guess. But if the answer is no, I give you... my Elite Dangerous Horizons Engineering Grand Tour and Tutorial. Join me as I relive the longest and most arduous grind of Elite Engineering, and all of the absurd efforts and difficult challenges it comes with. I systematically learn about and then visit every engineer in the galaxy, and use their services to upgrade my Crate Phantom into the ultimate, multi-purpose... kind of exploration-y, but can also probably kill stuff, and it doesn't suffer too much to its top speed or jump range for it. Crate Phantom. New episodes releasing daily, as long as I can keep it up. Wish me luck. 07 Commanders.
Ah, nice. That is quality, man. I've got your YouTube page up here. We'll link that in the description as well if you want to check out Recycled's YouTube channel. But so Emilio, why don't you tell us about what he's doing here?
He's helping you play Elite Dangerous. I think it's not like absolutely for beginners. It seems like a little bit further down. He's specifically trying to help you do something. Can we get him on the line so he can say it? Is he going to do it?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Anyway, but maybe it'll help out beginners. You tell me, Recycled, are you there? Can you tell me in text so I can tell on a podcast, on bad podcast?
He says it's a tutorial for Horizon because engineering is a pain in the butt.
So there you go. It's specifically for engineering.
Specifically,
but with this guy's voice, dude, and the way he speaks, he should be doing like beginners tutorials. He should be the face of, he should be the voice of Elite Dangerous, I think.
The voice of Elite Dangerous. Do you think you'll ever get into that game?
If I break both my legs and I'm in like on disability, yes. If I had the time for something like that, absolutely.
Because our VR set is arriving tomorrow. And I'm wondering what kind of doors this is going to open up. I mean, it seems like Elite Dangerous seems like a lot to get into, man. I'm going to start it off soft with maybe some puzzle games. You know, keep it light, but I don't know. Maybe I'll eventually dive into something a little more hardcore there.
It's a weird game, man. When you even watch somebody play on a regular computer, it looks like when you're watching them stream, to you, it looks like a VR stream.
Yeah, man, I don't have much tolerance for complicated games. Like, I sat down to play The Old Republic this week because it's now on Steam. And I played it before. I got two characters at around, like, level 15. But I hopped in and I just saw all this text and all these, like, tool tips and all this information and all these buttons. I was like, nah.
Yeah. Because you have so much time for gaming. Do you want to dedicate half of that for learning how to game for the other half?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, if you do have the time, then yeah, that go for it. But I don't know. All right. Time for news. let's take a look at the news. Not a whole lot this week. A lot of game announcements, but really just not a whole lot of news.
Yeah.
G4 teases a surprise comeback. So the G4 Twitter account tweeted a video showing kind of like a camera going through this warehouse of all these old computer consoles and equipment. And then it went to a TV that showed Pong being played. And then it said G4. And the text in the tweet said, "We never stopped playing." Very cryptic. Nobody knows exactly what this means, but it seems like G4 might be gearing up for a little bit of a comeback. They went off the air, I want to say, in 2014, maybe. I don't know. They were like a staple, I remember, in like the mid-2000s. Like, if you were a gamer...
They were like a gaming magazine, but on TV.
On TV, yeah. And they had all these different shows, and a lot of people got their start on there. You know, a lot of these gaming personalities that we know and love today. But did you ever watch a lot of G4?
Very little, but what's funny about it not being around now is gaming's bigger than ever. Mm-hmm. Like, way bigger than it was then. You know, that big stat that it makes more money than movies and movies and music combined.
Yeah. But also, like, video game content is more prevalent than ever. It's not like you need to go to TV. I mean, in the mid-2000s, it was like seeing that stuff on TV was like legitimized it in a way. You're like, cool, you know, like that. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Right,
but now seeing something on TV, it's like, who cares, dude? Have you seen the fall lineup of what they're going to have for networks because nobody can make TV shows because of coronavirus?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, so they had like a 30 Rock episode. That they did the same thing with Parks and Rec, where they made one where everybody was like remote and stuff, but somehow they still kind of made a story out of it. And it basically was a big commercial for this new thing called Peacock that they, it's like their version of Netflix or whatever. It's all these NBC shows and movies, and it's a bunch of content and a lot of it's free and it's pretty cool. But then they started showing like their new shows that they're going to have. And, like one of them is just like, I can't remember what it's called, but it's The Rock before he was The Rock. And it's just like the Rock talking about like his early days, you know, like in like pictures of him, like how he got started and stuff like that could be kind of cool. But then at the end, it's kind of, the production value is pretty low because it's like The Rock sitting at home in front of a webcam, you know, and then sharing pictures and whatever. And then like some other show is like Don Johnson and Keenan, you know, and it's like them just on a voice call or a video call, just like shooting the shit, just like hanging out. Like, that's a TV show this fall. Like,
jeez.
Wow, dude.
I'm glad I don't watch any of that stuff anymore. I don't watch any, like, network stuff at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have cable, so I can't really see much of it anyway. But that's the world we're living in now. That and baseball games with no fans in the audience, dude. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's like if they come out of the gate and somehow they have fantastic everything, then it'll make a splash. But the nostalgia factor is going to get them only so far. They have to have really good content and up to date content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. These are dire times for entertainment. We'll see what G4 does, man. Like, maybe it's some sort of rebrand they're doing or just some sort of comeback they're planning, but it could be cool depending on how they go about it. I mean, they could at least be a successful YouTube channel now, I guess.
They're gonna bring back a 45-year-old Morgan, whatever her
Morgan
name was.
Morgan Webb,
yeah.
maybe, dude. Maybe Jeff Keighley will come back. Then, Olivia Munn. Yeah, she got her start there.
That's what, yep.
Okay. Dude, is that it? No, that's not it. We've got one more news article here. I don't know how to pronounce this.
Suikoden. I mean, that's how I pronounce it. Creators announce a spiritual successor called...
Good luck, dude. Go for it.
Ayuden Chronicle. It's you know, this is a Japanese RPG. I was very much into the first three, I would say. Their big thing that they had over Final Fantasy is, in Final Fantasy, you kind of collect a cast of characters and you put them together the way you want. This took that idea and just, like, blew it up. like in Final Fantasy, I believe you have maybe a pool of 12 characters that you could put together. In Suikoden, there was like 35 characters, and you could pick your pick of the litter and put them together, and there were synergies. I mean, this is before any of this shit ever existed. Final Fantasy did it first. You know, maybe there was a combo attack or something like that, but there was like three player synergies in Suikoden. It was all about how many people you could have and what combinations you could have with them, and that was the big selling point. And at the time, I was like blown away that you could have 35 characters and a little bit of Pokemon in there too, because you like have to collect them all or whatever. You felt like you had to, even though a lot of them were really shitty. So, you know, spiritual successors is one thing. It's just like, these are old mechanics. If you want this game to be good, it has to stand on its own legs. You're only going to get so far with saying it's a spiritual successor. All this stuff has been done a million times since then, since this. So I hope it's a good game. I probably won't play it because these JRPGs take too fucking long. They're like 100 hours.
They're super long, yeah. Man.
Although I got to quickly mention this. On Game Pass, I saw that Dragon Quest XI is on there. And Dragon Quest is like one of the first JRPG. I might have played it before Final Fantasy because it was on the Nintendo. Do you remember this? You walk around, you slash slimes.
Sounds familiar. Let me look it up here. Dragon. It was almost Quest. Like a on the Nintendo.
Yeah, it was the first action RPG. Well, that and Zelda, I believe.
Oh, it looks like. Yeah, it looks very much like Zelda. I did not play this game.
Yeah. So you walk around and you fight things in real time as opposed to like cutting away to another screen like Final Fantasy did. And it's had a ton of iterations and 11 came out and it's on Game Pass. And I'm like, oh man, this game's got to be fucking awful. There's no way this game is good. It's part 11. And I click on it and it's got 90% rating on Metacritic. So I'm like, man, maybe just for shits and giggles, because it's free, I'm going to click on it. But I haven't done that yet. I might do it.
Can't always trust those reviews, too, man.
Yeah,
I feel totally
Metacritic.
Yeah, dude. I don't trust any reviews.
I'm a Democrat, dude. I'm Democratic. Sorry. I believe in the power of the people, man. If most people think it's good, it's probably good.
Yeah, but I don't know, because a lot of people will just upvote it because they liked it when they were a kid or something like that. You never know. That game that everybody loved and I played, I was like, what? Kentucky Route Zero? Recently this week, I was going through some zero punctuation videos, and Yahtzee had a video on that, and he like... You know, again, like just pretty much articulated exactly what I was thinking, man. Like if you watch that video, it's hilarious about Kentucky Route Zero. And it just kind of sums up what I was stumbling around and trying to say when I played that game.
He's super famous for a reason, man.
Yep. And we're not.
But we try.
We try, man. We really do. Okay. That is it for news, man. Let's...
Here it is. We have the clip. Oh, let me preface it.
I don't know if I want to play.
Did I tell him? Did I tell the story of you killing the coup de grace in your first boss? Did I tell that story? Either way, this requires a preface. So we got to like a mini boss, let's say, in D&D. Bobby's the paladin. He has a big war axe or whatever. Bobby did the last point of damage. Nick, as our DM, tells him that from time to time, the DM will grant you the privilege of taking over narrative power. And basically, you killed him. You tell me how you killed him. It's not your typical hack. Like, you just don't swing at him and he dies. You know, you tell me, what's the coup de grace? How'd you put this guy out? And Bobby goes on and says, I hit him with my weapon. I believe that's what you said, Bobby?
Something to that effect.
Yeah, something to that effect. And we're just like, wah, 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 right? Like, here you go. What do you do? And that's what he did. So then the next one, he's like, no, I've thought about this. And this is what we got. And this is fantastic.
Okay, you really built it up, so hopefully it delivers.
It is fantastic. Well, yeah.
No, Bobby still has it. So if I miss, one person can still get it. Okay, so, yep. I wonder what I'm going to do.
That clips very well.
I'm going to use the longbow. It's coming.
That's sniper, by the way.
Okay, no, so this is further in the clip. I'm sorry.
That is not hit. Good.
Okay. There. He clipped it at a certain time. Or he clipped
step
it
right
as
up. Step right up.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's go.
Oh my god, it's a 16!
Hey!
Look at that!
10 damage.
So that's the killing blow.
How do you want to do it, Bobby?
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
I thought
about this.
So I throw my axe down in the ground with the blade facing up. I grab him by the back of the head, and I throw him down into it.
Oh, yeah! There we go.
Ta-da. Oh, there we go.
Getting into it.
A little all colorful right. storytelling for you.
That was awesome. That was great.
Had to be there. All right, it's time for listener questions. And, oh, man, we got a lot. We got a lot.
We do.
First one is from Old Man Dave. It's a new name. Mm-hmm. Is there any part of a game, like a mini game, that you would like to see fleshed out into a full game? For example, Dawn of War 2 added a wave survival mode called Last Stand. That would be a killer fleshed out game. Speaking of Dawn of War, both 1 and 2 are among the best Warhammer 40K games.
I agree with that statement.
I remember you talking about and like saying how much you enjoyed those ones.
Yeah, Battlefield. Dawn of War 1 and all the expansions. I own them all. You get to play as all the races. They're all really small. You get to play as like hundreds and hundreds of units attacking each other. I didn't even know what I was playing at the time. I didn't even know what Dawn of War was. But yeah, glad I played it. As far as that, Bobby, do you have anything?
So like a mini game?
Inside of a game that might be its own game on its own.
And they've already done that with like Gwent. That's probably the most famous case of a game, a mini game becoming its own game.
Yeah.
It's not really a video game, but Star Wars CCG, I've talked about it before, interviewed the guy who's kind of heading up the company that runs that game now. You know, love that game. It's basically like Magic, but with Star Wars. Highly recommend it if you want to play it. playswccg.org, check it out. But when I was playing that back when I was a little kid, the Cloud City expansion came out and they developed a mini game called Sabacc, you know, which is the famous game where Lando lost the Millennium Falcon to Han Solo, right? That playing
what's Sabacc. It play out in the game in the movie Solo.
Oh yeah, in the movie Solo.
But it's different, right? I'm sure.
I don't know. I got to go back and watch Solo. That's actually, I think July 11th or something that finally came up on Disney Plus. But so the card game had designed this mini game you can play with Sabacc. Like if you're playing the actual game, then you can do like kind of a gambling thing where you can, I think, retrieve force with it. But my friends and I took the rules of that game. And what we did is we took a lot of our common and uncommon cards, basically stuff we didn't care about. And we just straight up played Sabacc and gambled for those cards. So if you lost, you know, like, yeah, that kind of sucks, but you didn't lose anything that big. And if you won, hey, maybe you got something kind of cool there, another blaster rifle or something. And we totally enjoyed that. We started for a little while, started playing like Sabacc more than we played SWCCG. Huh. But God, that was a lot of fun. And it was like, it was totally like little kids gambling. Cause you can't really gamble when you're a little kid. So was super exciting.
But I heard some people talking about this recently it was on the Rogan podcast that gambling potentially makes you better at whatever you're gambling on, like pool or whatever, because the stakes are higher.
So you try harder.
You try harder. And so that, the risk versus reward thing.
I guess, dude. Are some people crack under the nerve? Like they don't have the nerve. So it probably depends on the person. But yeah, I don't know. It does make it more important. You know, when I think mini games, I always think of Shenmue. Like that one had so many mini games. You could go to the arcade, play games. You could race the forklifts. Like there's just so much weird stuff you could do. It was such a weird game.
For me, I'm going to go with a mod. if that counts. There was a mod for Counter-Strike, and it's funny because this now exists. So it worked out. There was a mod for Counter-Strike where it was like the Marvel Universe or whatever, and there was like 50 superheroes, and you could pick a superpower and take, so like Magneto could grab your opponent's guns from them, and that would be Magneto. Wolverine obviously would get his health back.
I think it's Magneto. I'm not the comic
that's
book
what
guy.
I thought that's what I said.
Oh, you're saying drunk. Magneto.
Yeah. So what else? There was a few other ones like Human Torch, where like anybody around you would take damage, stuff like that. So I was like, oh my God, it's Counter-Strike with special abilities. Now that exists, it's called Valorant.
Yeah.
Or there's another one now called Rogue Company, which I've heard is pretty good. But I guess more on that next week. I'd go with that.
All right. You know, one of these days I'm going to play a Dawn of War game, because that's like a game I've been meaning to play for like years and years and years and years. Because it's an RTS, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I've always liked the first one because you're dealing with hundreds, as opposed to if you go to Dawn of War 2, which is a great game. It's fun.
Yeah.
But you're dealing with a squad of four, maybe six Space Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes way more in depth. Obviously, you're dealing with each one's health, their inventory, all that stuff.
Okay.
But,
And, you know, I have played a little bit of it, like maybe 10 years ago. I probably loaded it up, played like 15 minutes of it, didn't really get into it and put it down. But, again, the wave survival mode that he's talking about, we were just speaking about that earlier, about how that's really popular right now with these RTS games. Instead of that expand type of gameplay, you just hold out in your fort. All right, next question is from Mini Del Macho. He was on the podcast last week. Emilio seems to suck a new roguelike's dick every other week.
It's true.
But has he ever played the granddaddy of them all, the original Rogue, released 40 years ago? If not, I have some homework for you.
I recently thought about that. Like, I would say a week before you posted this, I was like, I don't even know what that game's about. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know what the perspective is.
You know, it's crazy. When I saw this question, I went and played it, because you can play it online. There's like a game a website where you can load these games up right in the browser and play them, because, you know, they're so old.
What's the perspective?
Dude, it's like Dwarf Fortress. Oh. So it's like ASCII art, basically, but it's actually very clear. It's not necessarily ASCII art, but it is entirely simplistic. I'll see if I can bring up a screenshot here. But it's very interesting to see, because the game did come out in 1980, and it is totally a roguelike, like 40 years ago. And it's very RPG, like you're just wandering around a dungeon. If you run into a snake, it's just an S, and like to run into it, you just arrow into it. 1980. Yeah, let me show you some images here.
So this is rough.
Yeah. So that is a staircase right there where you go down. These are the walls, and you can see the little doors right there. You can see items that are weapons, and to go to your inventory, you have to like type things in. You have to like type commands. Yeah. And like,
yeah. I won't be playing this, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was this bad or this old. I mean,
yeah.
Whoever put this together is fucking genius, man.
Yeah,
I'm glad they did it.
That's insane. It was two guys, actually. It says in the when you load it up. It's not a roguelike. It's literally rogue. Yeah, that's true. Recycled. Can't really call rogue a roguelike. next question from Warconius. Okay, so we've got a lot of game announcements, some surprise inclusions, but also some surprising omissions. Where did Dying Light 2 go? Age of Empires 4, Starfield. Are there any games that you are wondering where they are at? I mean, you pretty much mentioned all the ones.
Yeah, and I think we all know, right? Like,
they're just not done.
Well, that and COVID, I think it slowed a lot of things down in general.
Yeah, probably.
And even if it was just, even if it was not COVID related, I'm sure that they appreciated the extra couple of months where nobody's going to be asking about it.
Well, I don't know, man. You saw that I didn't put it in news, but there was an article about some developer who works on Apex Legends left a review on Glassdoor. Glassdoor is a website where you can go and write a review of your employer, basically, of the place you work for. So, I mean, you could type in the place that, that you work for and see what people have said about, you know, that job. But someone left a review there talking about how horrible the working at home situation has been. So it's and it's not like everyone's got time off here. It's easy for everyone, apparently.
That's a tough one to say, too, because everybody's work environment, I mean, home environments are different.
Mm-hmm. Have you been watching any of the Comic-Con stuff, by the way?
No, zero.
It's not that great, and it's pretty rough, because it's all a lot of people who maybe don't know so much about technology. Everyone at different mic levels, you know, just real rough shot, and it just, it doesn't have the energy there. Like, it's, it doesn't have, like, the crowd. It's so weird, and it's not really, it's...
They're trying their best, Bobby.
Yeah, God, they're trying, but a lot of them were, you know, I watched one on What We Do in the Shadows, the cast talking about the show, and they're talking about how they have to record their ADR at home, and how they're having trouble with that, and, you know, they're doing what they're doing, but they're just doing it from home, and it's just a more complicated process now.
Have you watched my two recommendations yet? A Quest for Fire, and...
I have not watched A Quest for Fire, but I got it, and that one is actually coming up very soon. I did watch Reign of Fire, though.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
first of all, McConaughey with the bald head.
Yeah, dude, like, he looked like a fucking Viking.
Yeah, in yeah, game, crazy, man. Movie. And like half the movie is like him and Christian Bale just staring down each other, dude. Like, it's total macho stuff. But the special effects, really good for 2002.
Yeah, for sure.
Very impressive. And like the plot, like as soon as
I think
like,
it was the last great Dragon movie. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
The last great Dragon movie?
Yeah.
You're probably right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because what are the, I mean, How to Train Your Dragon? I don't know. You well, make an argument.
The first one was really good. Second one. Anyway.
Yeah.
The other one is Dragonheart.
Mm-hmm. But Dennis Quaid. Yeah. Was that Dennis Quaid?
No, it's...
Randy Quaid. No, I know what you're talking about, dude. We all know Dragonheart. Because that was, again, amazing special effects.
Yeah, yeah. God damn it. Who's that old Scottish guy?
James Bond.
James Bond.
He might have been in it. Let's see. Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
It was Dennis
Quaid. My name
Quaid.
Is Sean Connery. I found a cure for cancer and now I've lost it.
Yeah, okay. Sean Connery and Dennis Quaid were in it. But yeah, dude, Dragonheart was a banger. Everyone loved that. 96, dude.
A banger, dude. I don't it was know about that.
It was back then. I don't know if it holds up. But
anything on my Sean Connery... impression. Nobody even knew I had
literally one. Everybody does a Sean Connery impression, dude. Right, I can do a Sean Connery impression.
All right, let's hear it.
I did it. Oh, I'm Sean Connery. No, he was always on SNL. Your mother, Trebek.
Shuck it, Trebek.
You're the man now, dog. that fucking movie. Okay. But yeah, dude, Reign of Fire, actually not that bad. Like, I kind of saw where it was going in the third act, like, oh, okay, this is what's going to happen. But, like, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Did you hear, dude, that interview with Barbara Walters where she asked him about slapping women?
No, but that sounds hilarious because he's probably slapped more women than anyone on the planet just in the James Bond movies alone.
Yeah, dude, she's like, so you've said here, this day and this day, that it's from time to time it's okay to slap a woman, and you know, this is like a one-on-one interview. This does not have anything to do with movies or anything. He's like, well, he's like, sometimes they get an idea. She wants him to like back down from what he said. You know, she wants him to like be like, oh, I never said that, or mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah. cower. And he's like, nope. Well, sometimes they get an idea in their head, and they'll just keep coming with it, and again, and again, and again. And sometimes, you just have to give them a good smack. And so that to get, what he was trying to say was, like, reset the computing in their fucking small heads.
Oh, my God. I gotta look up that interview, dude.
Bring it up, dude. Play. Oh, my God. Roll that beautiful B footage,
Sean Connery and Barbara Walters. Remember that? I mean, it kind of it ties in because Regis Philbin did die this week. But yeah, dude, her and Regis, Sean Connery and Barbara Walters. Oh my God! Yeah, dude, and then.
There it is. There's a 57.
This guy has made. Oh, this is when he is pretty old too. So this must have been in the 90s because this guy's been in movies forever, man. Like the first movie I remember seeing him in was I didn't watch a lot of James Bond, but he did Darby O'Gill. Darby O'Gill and the Little People. Did you ever see that one with the leprechauns? No, Katie.
I don't think so.
Oh man.
What you said. It's not the worst thing to slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand. Mm. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
And I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
No, not at all.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good.
You don't think it's bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it. Yeah.
Well, what would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else, and women are pretty good at this, they can't leave it alone. They don't want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again and get into a really provocative situation.
Just then, digging that ditch.
Yeah, dude. But no.
I think
he's digging his heels in.
Oh
God, they edited that in. Yeah, he didn't actually slap her. But yeah, oh man. I mean, you know what's crazy though is like he probably that was probably an interview in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it was probably pretty controversial back then, but still like not like today. Not like now.
There's no social media.
Oh no, dude. That'd be a Twitter storm the likes you've never seen, man. Yeah. That'd be shit, dude. That's hilarious.
I'm glad the clip lived up.
It totally did, man. If that got some buzz, dude, if we started something, he could get retroactively canceled.
Is he dead?
Like John Wayne did. No, he's just not in movies anymore. The last movie he ever made was that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And I mean, God, what a one to go out on, dude. I don't know if he was like, that's it.
It wasn't the one with Catherine Zeta-Jones diving under the lasers.
Oh, contraction?
I don't know, man.
Contraction. Contrapment? Entrapment?
That was the entire selling point, was arching under a laser.
Yeah, I think it was entrapment. I'm not sure. But, yeah, he's one of those people that are just, like, too old to act anymore. He just can't. Like, he's physically...
Or give a shit about politically correctness.
Hey, maybe not. Well, I don't know, dude. Does he tweet?
No, I doubt it.
Who's that? Know. He could be like James Woods, dude, firing up a Twitter storm every day.
Oh man, dude.
Old people in Twitter. Okay. Listener questions, folks. Another one from Orconius. What did your parents want you to do as a career? What was the worst job you've ever had?
Dude, I'm going to have a crazy answer for this. You got one? Ready for go?
Okay, I'll go first. Okay, you go first.
My dad was obsessed with Mexican cowboyism, ranchero. Is that what they're called? Yeah. So basically he wanted me to be a Mexican cowboy. So he was in a fraternity or like an association at a big, big ranch where they did Mexican rodeos and all this stuff. So, I grew up with two horses. I grew up on a ranch. And, you know, riding all that stuff and lassoing and all that stuff. And then once I became 10, I got my first Nintendo and all of that shit was gone. I had no interest. I didn't really have interest before that. Like he was trying to kind of just shoving it down my throat. But I did it because there was nothing else around to do in the fucking 80s, early 80s, if your dad wasn't into it. So, yeah. So, once I got my Nintendo, I never wanted to go to ranch before. He sold both my horses. I broke his heart, pretty much. But yeah, he wanted me to be a rodeo clown. Not a clown, but like an actual a cowboy, like somebody who gets on the wools and stuff.
So there's an alternate universe where you are a famous ranchero.
Yeah. My cousin did really well. He won. He won many competitions. He won. So if you won certain competitions, they would just give you a ranch in Cuba or Colombia. You just get a ranch. Like, here's the grand prize. You get a whole ranch with cows and fucking wenches and shit. I don't know. It's so funny. I'll just keep going, though. I'm already here. So the first time Sam met my family was when my dad died, like, 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago. And we went down there, and every person that she met was like, well, they would keep saying, this, like, three people in a row were like, well, he is a Marquez, which is my last name, right? Kind of implying that we were, like, ladies' men, or, like, that we cheated and stuff. Mm. She's like, what the fuck are they trying to say? And I was like, well, fuck, I don't know. So anyway, we ran into my cousin, who runs all these, went on these ranches. And I was like, hey, how are your ranches doing in Colombia and all these places? He said, oh, they're doing great. I go down there about once a year. I was like, that's awesome. And then my mom was standing next to me. She goes, do you take your wife? And he goes, why would you take Sam to the beach? And he, blind, once again, by a Marquez, there's not many of us left that we don't like to take sand to the beach.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Oh, man. So I don't think my dad, like, ever really pushed too hard for this, but I was really into baseball when I was young, and he's very into baseball. We used to go to games, watch baseball all the time. I played, you know, Little League up until about high school, and there was a while when I was young where I, like, seriously considered it. Like, this is what I want to do. I want to play baseball when I grow up. And I remember telling him, like, or I told my mom first, because I was like, I think dad's going to be upset with me because I don't want to play baseball anymore. Mm. And she was like the mediator. She's like, no, it'll be fine. My parents were always cool about that, you know, let me do what I want to do, and maybe a little too much, because they didn't really push me towards a lot of things, which I could have definitely used. But worst job you ever had?
Oh, probably working with my dad. He was an electrician and I was an electrician assistant. And there was just a lot of crawling through attics, which were not walkable attics that you have on the East Coast. We're talking about West Coast attics, which is, it's a crawl space with fiberglass. And so you just walk through there and try not to touch the fiberglass. There's dead rats up there. It's 20 degrees hotter than the ambient temperature. It's just bad. Everything bad. Or you're underneath the house. Again, not a basement. It's a crawl space. So you crawl around in there, dead rats, cockroaches, whatever. And, you know, my dad was a perfectionist, man. So he would, like, he was the best at, like, what he did. But he would want it to be perfect. So you had to spend time to make things perfect. So you have to be in this uncomfortable situation for hours at a time to try to make the person happy.
It's rough work.
Yep.
I think I got two answers to this question. So worst job I ever had, the first job I ever worked, I was a sophomore in high school. So how old was I? Like, I don't
16?
Know, 16. Yeah, probably 16. I heard that some friends of mine were working for, the Union Tribune, our local newspaper, selling newspapers door to door. And because it was a newspaper job, there's some loophole where you can legally get paid less than minimum wage. Minimum wage at the time was like five something. So I was getting paid like four something an hour.
Yeah.
To get picked up in a van by some weird dude who had like a van full of boys around my age. And then he'd just like take us and drop us off in some neighborhood. And we just canvass the area, go door to door and like try to sell newspapers. Just absolutely terrible. I am not a salesman, man. Yeah. I am like the worst salesman.
Oh, yeah. It was the sales part. You weren't delivering.
No, not delivering. Oh. Selling. Trying to sell subscriptions. Okay.
Yeah, there's some weird loophole, dude. The same thing happens with those like book drives and the all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Or selling the candy bars. It's child labor, and it's like some loophole. Yeah. Around it.
If it's some fundraising thing, you get around the whole child labor thing, and schools do it all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a horrible job because I was so bad at it. And it was just like, I realized right away I was not going to be a good salesman, because you have to be a pretty good liar to be a salesman. Everyone on, everyone who did that with me who was like good at it, they had like strategies, man. Like they would say like, oh, we're doing this for like our school's raising fund. They'd have like some sob story, like, oh, I'm trying to raise enough money so I can get a tux for prom or something like that, you know, or like they just straight up lie to them, like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, you get this, this, and this, and that's included when it wasn't, you know, just whatever to make the deal. Mm-hmm. And then what's funny about that is years later, God, probably this is probably around like 2009 or so, 2010, I'd say, 10 years ago. I'm at home. This is when I lived in a different part of town, but I'm at home and one of those guys, like an older guy too, like this guy was probably in his 20s, comes to my door and tries to sell me a paper. And all right, full disclosure here, I'm high as shit. Right? So I'm in no, like, I'm just like, dude, I need this guy to go away. Don't want to deal with this. Yeah, so he comes in and he starts this whole fast talking thing. And I'm like, you know, I don't really need the paper. And he's like, blah, 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 blah. You know what? You know, you can just get the Sunday paper. You know, everyone needs a Sunday paper. I'll just sign you up for the Sunday paper. And I'm just like, just go away, dude. And like, I was taken advantage of and signed up for the Sunday paper. As soon as I shut the door, I'm like, I got fucking talked into this shit, dude. I got taken like some goddamn fool. So then like the next day I'm like calling him up. I need to cancel my subscription, man. Like this guy sold me a subscription. I don't need this shit. Sunday, the weekend paper. Like who reads the newspaper?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you got to wait 2 weeks. I'm like, that's the fucking scam, dude. Mm. That's the scam. You can't cancel for 2 weeks.
And then you forget about it. You know, it was a video game fucking subscription model before it came out.
Yeah, dude. I should have closed the door right in his face, which happened to me many times when I was working that job.
Telemarketers, dude, I don't even say one word anymore.
Yeah.
I just hang up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And dude, then I add them to my blog.
There's no need to be polite, man.
No, at all.
But yeah, second worst job, actually, and it wasn't terrible. It was just really hard, was my first job in the industry, which was doing tech support for D-Link. And that job was just being on phone, sitting in a cubicle, answering call after call, trying to talk somebody through setting up, like connecting their Wi-Fi to their router in like 2003, dude, when Wi-Fi didn't really work, you know?
I can only imagine, dude.
It was so bad. But I learned so much, dude. Like that job taught me so much.
About dealing with people?
Nah, dude. Like dealing with people, I've always been very good at. I've got great customer service skills. Like working through, like talking people who are not good at technology over the phone and like just trying to figure out what the hell they're trying to say. And like just learning about like hands-on experience with, you know, with networking, like in a home or a small office environment. Yeah. Like it was pretty invaluable actually.
Which is where you're at now. I mean, that's put you where you are now.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a stepping stone. So I don't really regret that as much as my paper job that lasted 2 weeks. All right. Good question there, Morconius.
Yeah.
Those are the lives we could be living. Controlled Paris says, Bobby, Oliver Stone went on Rogan. Seems right up your alley. Have a chance to listen to him yet? I'm sure Emilio has.
I was going
to
tell you about that episode, man. It's a really good episode.
Maybe I'll listen to it then. I don't know, because I've listened to Oliver Stone's episode on The Nerdist many, many years ago when he had that Snowden movie that came out. He was on Chris Hardwick's podcast, and the episode wasn't that great. Hmm. Like, it was all right, but not really that great. And I know I've brought this up a million times, but I'm not a huge Rogan fan. His podcasts are a little too long. He's very antagonistic, and it's kind of like, I don't know.
Give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot.
You got the time, man.
I seriously do, man. I rip through audiobooks and podcasts at work for 8 straight hours, so I do have the time. Next question from Omerta. Just got into UFC since YouTube started doing the free fight videos. What's your favorite fighter? Any good fights you suggest watching?
Oh, man, dude.
That's definitely a question for you.
Yeah. Can you name a fighter?
Like one? A current one?
Yeah, like one?
No, not a current one.
Can you name one?
The Spider. What happened to that guy?
Anderson Silva.
Yeah, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
Chuck
Liddell, probably.
He was big. Chuck Liddell. Randy Couture.
Okay, so this is one of these things, and Nick, you have to work on this. When you're trying to get somebody into something, you can't hit them with everything at once. And I'm the worst at this, too, especially with drugs. I'd be like, this is the greatest shit ever. Take all these pills. No.
That's never a good idea, by the way.
It's never a good idea. But, in general, like I build things up, and it's because I don't understand the whole concept of like somebody building something up, making it a worse thing. But for a lot of people, that's a thing. So I have to understand that like you have to parse things out. So, yes, favorite fighter. It's a weird one, but Rose Namajunas is probably because she's this gorgeous girl. And then like her face is gorgeous because she's bald now because she cut off her hair because it gets in the way. So she's just like, she looks like this warrior monk. She has no musculature on her body at all.
What's her name?
Rose. Oh, geez. Put Thug Rose. That'll get you there faster. That's her.
Oh, I think I know this person.
Yeah, we watched her win the fucking title together.
Yeah.
And I
on her way back from BlizzCon.
Yeah, yeah.
2017.
Find the picture of her with hair, dude. She's like a really good looking girl. And so anyway, she's unassuming and somehow she just wins, man. She was the champion for like 2 years. She recently lost her, belt. I don't know. She's very impressive to me because she looks like a 12-year-old boy and somehow beats everybody's ass. So there's that one. As far as fights to watch, I think it's worth it to buy Fight Pass for 1 month. Which is $9.99, and then watch like the top 25 fights of all time. That's worth $10 on its own, because you're watching the best of 20 years ever, all concentrated in that. Maybe somebody has a knockoff on YouTube of that, but yeah, I would go with that. Hmm. Oh, it sounds like Jocko's choking on something. Jocko,
is he throwing up?
I don't know. I want to make sure he's okay. Jocko!
Yeah, here he comes.
All right, get out of here.
No, go away. You're totally go away. Confused.
You're alive.
Oh, now he's going to puke right here on the carpet. Geez.
You okay, man? All right. Go ahead, Bob. I can hear.
All right. Neo Reloaded says, okay, so this is a hypothetical. PC Gamer offers one of you guys an unpaid part-time gig on their podcast, but in doing so, it means you can't continue doing the DLG podcast, and that's the end of DLG. Would you sell out and bail out on the podcast? Like Chad, he says in parentheses. Or would you stick with the community you have built? Easy decision there, dude. Definitely. I don't think I would really fit in with PC Gamer. I don't think that would be a good fit, as they say. So I think that's an easy call, man. Write it out.
I would assume that he means it comes with like a hefty paycheck too, you know, like a leave your job type paycheck, which I don't think those guys make anyway either. But let's go ahead and assume it's like 50K a year.
I wouldn't do it for 50K.
No?
No.
Move to San Francisco as well. It'd be a whole thing.
Didn't they changed offices? I think they're in New York now.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're
in New York. Do they have a podcast right now?
I don't think they do the podcast anymore. Yeah. They did the Twitch show for a while, and I think the UK version of them still does the podcast occasionally, but yeah, I don't think they really do the podcast anymore, which I miss. I like that.
Yeah, Jocko's out there throwing up. There's no blood in it, so I hope we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it, dude. No,
dude, it would, I can't think of.
For 100K, I would consider it. And then I would just bring my audience there. It's not like they wouldn't follow me. All 10 of you.
Yeah. All right. Last question from Pharaoh Steve. Would love to hear your predictions on who will have the most momentum this holiday season after the new consoles launch, Sony or Microsoft?
Here's my prediction. Oh, by the way, his opinion was in there, and I think his opinion nailed it. So I think Sony's going to win off the bat because they have better graphics, better first-party titles, better pretty much everything, except for thoughts for the future. It's not like Sony can't pivot, but Xbox, what I talked about last week, going into this whole next Netflix of games, they're thinking about the future, where things are going, and they are established. If you have four times more people paying $5 a month than you do paying $60 once, you're going to do better because it's a monthly thing and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
So,
and having people in your ecosystem is a huge advantage.
Yeah. So a lot of people are in both. I would say that most of our console players have both. Or at least have a Switch and one of the big two. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would say out of the gate, Sony's going to do well. But I love Microsoft's new directions.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he summed it up pretty well. So he kind of posed this question, then answered it for us. Yeah. But Yeah, I mean, Sony's got a lot of exclusives or like holding a lot of good games hostage on their platform, but I feel like Microsoft is laying the groundwork for something very, very big.
For the future.
Yeah, for a huge just comeback. Like, they are going to be, and maybe not as big as Steam, but they're like just making it so accessible. They're really working on the whole cross-platform thing. You know, you buy a game here, you play it wherever, you know, like they're really setting things up for a good long-term healthy business.
The only thing that might knock them off that horse if Steam comes out with some sort of reasonable subscription model, maybe a tiered one, where like,
I don't think there's any way Steam could do a subscription model.
Not even a tiered one where like $5 gets you these games, $15 gets you these
games. They have so many games, dude. Like, they'd have to somehow curate it. And if there's one thing we know about Steam is they do not like to curate anything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want curation? Here's the curator page. You do it.
You do it.
Yeah. So I just don't see Steam doing that. But you know, Microsoft, they've got the Game Pass, they've got xCloud. Like, I don't know. I think they're making all the right decisions.
Yep.
And
still not worth Bobby's $5, but there it is.
Yeah. All right. That's it, man. We got to get out of here.
I want to make sure my dog's not dying. All right. Speaking for Bobby and myself, next week I'll be playing Mortal Kombat 11.
I don't know yet. Maybe Succubus Prologue.
He's barking. I think he's left. Okay. Speaking for Bobby and myself, Succubus Titties. Boom. That was easy.
I was going to do something with Sean Connery.
Sometimes you gotta give him a smack.
Have you seen any of those old James Bond movies?
No. Not just James Bond, but just old movies. They just slapped the shit out of women, dude.
Yeah.
There was a weird scene in The Princess Bride. He's like, it was weird.
Oh, it's like
a kids movie.
Yeah. It was everywhere back then.